Okay, so this week's parasha is Parashas Chayisara, and I'm going to share with you a number of different comments on the part of the parasha where Eliezer is finding a wife for Yitzchak, and really most of my comments are going to come towards the end, meaning even already after Eliezer repeats his whole story to Rivka's family. That's where the comments tonight are primarily going to be on. But first, I want to start with a thought from Rosham Shnafal Hirsch on an episode in last week's parsha that relates to this week's parsha also, and that is on page 98 from Parshas Vayera, which is page 98, Pasuk Chaf Beis. And it wasn't that time. Abimelech, the king of the Plishtim, and Fichal, his general, approached Abraham, who was living in the land of the Plishtim, approached Abraham saying, God is with you in everything that you do. And now, swear to me by God, that you shall not deal falsely with me, my son, my grandson, the kindness that I have done with you, you shall do with me, the merits of Shagar Tabah with the land that you have lived in. So Abimelech was seeking a peace treaty with Abraham, a peace treaty that will last for a number of generations. Now, why does Abimelech decide that he has to go to Abraham and make a peace treaty with him and tell him that, you know, the kindness that I did with you, meaning I was at peace with you, you live in my land, your descendants, have to treat my descendants with kindness and with peace. Why does Abimelech do this? Why does he feel it important that he has to go and approach Abraham and do this? So Shavuot Shapol Hirsch says that apparently, I'm going to read to you from his commentary. Okay, obviously Abimelech here is not addressing Abraham as a private individual whose importance comes to an end with his life, and who as such is never in the position of being able to do good or evil to a country. Obviously he has some idea of Abraham's posterity, which as a nation could stand as friends or as enemies to his people. In short, one cannot take all this otherwise than to presume that Abimelech knew of the Abrahamic promises and expectations, and for that future wished to ensure for himself and his land the friendship of that future nation on the grounds of the obligation which the ancestor had towards him. If Abimelech feels this need to make a treaty with Abraham that shall last for generations, and that Abraham should treat the country that he lived in with the same kindness and peace that I treated you with, obviously Abimelech sees Abraham as more than just a significant person. He sees a person who's going to have effect for a number of generations. Where does this come from? Where does he know this from? How does he know it? And the answer is that the promises that Hashem made to Abraham were well known. People knew them. People accepted them. People believed them. Seeing how great Abraham was already, they knew the destiny that was meant for him. And therefore Abimelech decided that he's going to preempt, and he's going to go ahead and he's going to make Abraham promise and bind future generations that they should always be at peace with his country and his generations. But if Abimelech does this, it's very clear that Abimelech sees Abraham as a possible ally or a threat. Why? Abraham's just an individual with a family. What is Abraham they should be afraid for generations? The answer is that the promises made to Abraham of his greatness as a great nation is something that everybody knew and everybody accepted. And therefore, Abimelech wants to make peace for the future. Now, Rav Hirsch also brings this out in this week's parsha, and that is, already after, again, this is after Eliezer, already tells over his whole story to Rivka's family, and she's about to leave, and her family gives her a blessing. They give her a bracha, page 118. After Eliezer convinces them, no delays, it's time to go. Pasuk Sanach. Vayivarchu es Rivka vayemula. And they blessed Rivka and they said to her, Achaisenu, our sister, Atil alfei rava, you shall be for thousands of ten thousands. The Yirash is Areich a Shar Sein of, and your children shall inherit the gates of its enemies. Okay? Why would they give her such a bracha? Every time, you know, this the custom is we say this blessing to Kalas. But think about it, right? Rivka's gonna go get married, and she's marrying Yitzchak. What's this talk about your children shall inherit the gates of their enemies? Is that a common bracha they gave to everybody? Every person got a bracha, your children should inherit the gates of their enemies? Says Rav Hirsch. A similar and he compares this to what happened by Avimelech, and he writes these words in the mouth of people of the type of Lavan and his mother are only understandable if we take it that they knew of the destiny foretold of Rivka, that she would become the ancestress of a great nation and also of the destiny of that nation, that this expected future of the house of Abraham was well known. We have already seen in the visit of Avimelech after the birth of Yitzchak. If that's what they're saying, that means, again, they understand the destiny of Abraham. They know what's in store for Abraham. They know what's in store for Yitzchak. And if Rivka's going to marry Yitzchak, they know what's in store for her. She will be the ancestress of a great nation. And therefore, they give her this bracha. The Sefer Haggai's Parashas HaTorah uses this to really give a very interesting general overview or general context of what is happening here when Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzchak. Eliezer, looking for a wife for Yitzchak, is not just looking for a shidduch for his master's son, but he's looking for the mother of the Jewish people. She's going to be the mother of the Jewish people. That's what's going on here. And everything else that's going on in this story is all part of that challenge. It's all part of what Eliezer is trying to do. It's all part of that of the future of the Jewish people that hangs in the balance in what's happening here. And if we say that everybody understood the destiny of Abraham and everybody understood what Rivka was in store for, then when we find that her family tried holding back, what that means is that even understanding the destiny of Abraham, they're trying to stop it. They're not looking. They don't want Rivka. They don't want Rivka to be part of it. Which means this is not. That's not what they're looking for. That's not what they want in life. They know what Abraham's destiny is. They know what Abraham's future is. They know what his nation is going to be. They know what their daughter is going to be part of, and they don't want it. They actually try to stop it. That's really where the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, the power of evil, is presenting itself in this whole episode of trying to stop the building of the Jewish people.
When they try to hold off.
Yeah, we're going to go through each part.
Okay.
When each time when they're trying to stop what's going on, if we're assuming that they understand what's in store for Rivka, then they're trying to stop that. Which means that they are the power of evil. They are the representatives of the Yetzer Hara trying to stop the ultimate good of coming into being. Because Rivka is going to be part of that chain. Okay, so now let's take a look at through some of the psukim and see how this comes out. So we're going to go back to page 116, and this is Perek Chav Dalad, Pasuk Nun. Okay. Pasuk Nun, three lines on the bottom. So now Eliezer just finished retelling the whole story of how he saw Rivka, how he met Rivka and what Rivka did. And then he says, so now it's time to let me know. Are you going to let me take Rivka for life or Yitzchak or not? So Pasuk Nun, Vayan, Lavan, Ubesua, Vayenu. Lavan and Besua responded, May Hashem yata adarar. The matter has come out from God. V'nircha adarar eilech hara aitayv. We cannot speak to you evil or good. Says the Sefonu, what does this mean? We cannot speak evil to you. What does that mean, says the Sefornu? Pretty much what it sounds like. To stop Hashem's decree. To uphold it. as if to say it needed our agreement. We can't, this matter has come out from Hashem. We can't speak evil, meaning we can't stop it. And the truth is we can't say good either, because it's not really up to us to approve of it. Hina Rivka lefanecha kach valeich. God, Rivka is before you, take it and go. Okay, says the Sefornu, take us and go means even without our permission. Usihi Yishol ben Adinecha, she shall be a wife to the son of your master, Kashadibar Hashem, as Hashem has spoken. So it's very interesting that when Eliezer says, will you let me take Rivka? What's their response? Can't do anything about it. Basically, you know, they have to build it up and say, yeah, it comes from Hashem, if it comes from Hashem, we can't speak, we can't stop it, you don't need our approval, so take her even whether we want it or not. Not a very enthusiastic response. Which means that they are actually implying and showing that if they could stop it, they would. But they realize they can't. May Hashem Yatzadavar, the matter has come from Hashem. And therefore, at least on the outset, they're saying, there's nothing we can do about it. Okay. Eliezer hears that. Satara says, he bows down and thanks to Hashem. He gives presents. They eat and they drink. They go to sleep. And the next morning, they get up and Eliezer says, send me to my master. You know, asking permission to leave. To now, on page 118, Pasuk Nunhei. Okay. Nope, sorry. Yeah, Pasuk Nunhei. Vayemer Achia V'ima, her brother and her mother said, Teishev Anari Itana Yemim Oyasar, let the young girl stay with us Yemim days, Ashur means a year, or Asra 10 months, Achatevayek, after that, she'll go. So Rashi points out that before, when Eliezer needed a response, the response came from Lavan and Besuel. And now, the response comes from Lavan and his mother. What happened to Besuel? Says Rashi, which is Rashi on Pasek Nunhei, Vayim Achia V'ima, Besuel Heichan Haya. Where's Besuel? The answer is, Huya Yaitza La'akiv. He tried to stop this. Uba Malach Vahimisai, and an angel came and killed him. Besuel tried to stop, an angel came and killed him. The Sifta Chachamim brings down the famous Medrash that says, how did Besuel try to stop Eliezer? They poisoned Eliezer's food, and they brought in the food, and Eliezer got to realize that there was something not right, and he started talking. And then meanwhile, Malach came and switched the food, Besuel ate the poisoned food, and he was gone, he was finished. So there again, another clearly, Besuel wanted to stop it. Besuel wanted to stop it, Hashem doesn't let. Now what happens? What happens is, they say now, you know, let her stay for a little while, right? Why does she have to rush so fast? Let her stay for a little while. Vayena Alehem, Pasuk Minvad, Eliezer says to them, Al ta'achru oisi, do not delay me. Vashem etzliach darki, Hashem has made my way successful. Shalchuni, send me v'alchal adayni, and I will go to my master. Vayemu nikula nara. So they said, Lavan and his mother said, let's call the young girl, l'nishol aspia, let's ask her. Vayekru l'rivka, they called Rivka, vayemu aleha, and they said to her, haseochem isha zeh, will you go with this man? Vatayma eilech, and she said, I will go. Now the Medrash tells us that this question, haseochem isha zeh, was not as innocent as it sounds. Because as the Medrash says, that actually, when they asked her, Haselchi, will you go? Says the Medrash, Meram Zimba, they were trying to hint to her, Haselchi, Haselchi, are you going to go, are you going to go? Haselchi Shazet, you going to go with this guy? Haselchi, are you going to go with him? The commentary of Eitzesef says, if they were just asking her a regular question, then the way the question would have been asked is, they would have said, Ritzain Chalelech, is your desire to go? Not Haselchi, are you going to go? So therefore, the Medrash understands that actually they're trying to hint to her, you're going to go? Hint, hint? She's supposed to say no. She's supposed to say no. What did she say? Eilech, I will go. The Medrash points this out, Rashi says it, she said to them, Eilech, I'm going against your will. I'm going whether you like it or not. And the Eitz Yosef says is that we understand in her response, Eilech, that she wasn't just saying yes, because if she was just saying, if she was just responding yes, she would have just said yes, not I will go. And therefore, I will go means that she's trying to say, I'm going no matter what. So what you have here is a situation where, again, they're trying to prevent this. They are trying to prevent the fulfillment of the destiny of Abraham, of the creating, of the creation of the nation of Hashem. But Rivka, who we know was already a very special girl, she understood what's happening here, and she said, Eilech, I'm going. And Eliezer said, we got to go, and she said, I'm going. So there is a Sefer Zayin L'Torah that the Haggais and Parashas HaTorah brings down. It's a very nice, it's a very nice thought. It says like this. He says, you know, clearly we have to, clearly Rivka was a very special girl. You know, just the fact how kind she was to Eliezer shows what kind of special girl she was. But if you think about it, how much did she know about Abraham?
3 years old.
She was a young girl, right? So we can assume that she probably didn't know much about them. Not even as much as what her brother and her parents knew about it. So what made her decide to go with this stranger? So the way he says it is, again, understanding who, what kind of special person Rivka was, he says, Ach achrei sherasas Eliezer eved Abraham. After she met Eliezer, and she saw Noyagov, the way he behaves, Tfilesav, his prayers, Vadiyesav, the way he thanks Hashem, Zaz mashu b'secha, that stirred something in her. That awakened something in her. V'chlita la'azebes b'esavia, and she decided to leave her father's house, Bahamin b'ishzar, to believe the stranger, v'lechasachra b'derech le'neidas, and to follow a path that she had no idea of, v'v'chinas, similar to, lechtech achrei v'amidva b'eretz le'zerua. Hashem, through the prophet Yirmiyah, praises the Jewish people. When you left Egypt, you followed me into a desert, into a land that was not planted. Hashem, praises the Jewish people. You followed me out to nowhere. You had no idea where you're going, how you're going to survive, but you followed me. And Rivka did the same thing with Eliezer. Because in essence, she didn't know much about Abraham, but Eliezer awakened something in her. When she saw Eliezer, something inside of her awakened her and said, I have to follow him. And again, this is part of because of the fact of what kind of special person she was. But in everything that's happening here about how her family is trying to prevent what's going on, and they're trying to prevent her from reaching that destiny, she is that special person who's strong enough to realize where she should be going, and she's strong enough to say, I'm going to go no matter what. And I was thinking that perhaps what lies in this comparison to say that she followed Eliezer like the Jewish people followed Hashem into the desert after leaving Egypt was that the Jewish people had the strength to do that because of Rivka. The same way Rivka went into a strange situation, a completely strange situation to her, because she understood that this is where she's going to, this is where she's going to touch eternity. So they said, this is where she has to be. This is where Hashem wants her to be. That when she did that, she instilled the strength into her descendants to do that when they left Egypt. And Hashem praised them. That I remember the love of when we were first together, when the love of your being a bride to me. You found me to a desert in a land that wasn't planted, and you had your faith in me. Okay. Now, Una shares you now a very interesting comment from one of the comments here in the Medrash, called Anaf Yosef, that, you know, we look at Rivka's response, the way Rashi brings it down, the way the Medrash brings down. Rivka says, Eilech, she says to her brother, her mother, I'm going whether I'm going without your permission. Now, it's very praiseworthy for Rivka to stand up for what's right. But Anaf Yosef says, she wasn't speaking very respectful to her mother. You know, where's the Derech Eretz? We don't think about that question. You know, oh, she's strong. She's standing up for what's right. But the way you read it, she says, "I'm going against your will, whether you like it or not." Where's the derech eretz here? Sanav Yosef says, "We don't have to explain. We don't have to use this. We don't have to translate the words of the medrash that she says, I'm going against your will, whether you like it or not, I'm going. What she meant to say is like this. Look, you see all the miracles that are happening. You see what happened to my father who tried to stop. At the end of the day, this is from Hashem. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to go. I have to go. So she's not saying to them, like being in their face, I'm going against your will. She's saying, Eilech, I'm going. I'm going against your will. I'm going whether you like it or not. This is Hashem's decree. Look what happened to my father. Look what's been happening. There's no way to stop it. So that's the way...
They already understood that from the earlier Pesukim.
They didn't understand it. They're trying to delay it.
But they did understand it was from Hashem. They said...
Yeah, but apparently they were still ready to play around with that because Basul tried killing Eliezer and they tried to delay things. So basically, you know, there's still something they're trying to finagle with. And she's telling them, look, it's there's no point. So it's not like she's not being in their face as much as trying to say, look, it's going to happen. And therefore, instead of fighting it, go along with it. And that's what happens. After that, we read, they send her, they give her a bracha, because they realize that she's right.
It's almost like Rivka knew that because of that she was chosen by Hashem.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Okay. So one last thought about this whole approach here, and again, it's a fascinating approach to look at everything happening here as really a struggle between good and bad. You know, it's an interesting approach. The struggle, it's they recognize the destiny of Abraham, they recognize the river's going to be part of, but they're trying to stop it. So the Chassam Sefer, in his commentary on Chumash, at the end of this whole part of the Parsha, he says, Musar Haskel. That means a practical lesson from this whole story. So he says like this, Avinu hayanasi ha'aretz kamelech lohem. Avram Avinu was a prince like a king to everyone. All the great people of that generation recognized him. Asher b'chusha gadomoid. He's very wealthy. He's very powerful. Hashem berachas Avraham b'karo. Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. V'yelai ben yachad le'imai. Had one son to his mother. Shkol tuv aviv nasan lai. He was the one getting all this good. V'yitzchak ba'atmei mikamayu. Yitzchak, himself a very special person. V'kamakidais kriyais v'shtachavayais bereses nasu. U'tfila shehitzer Avraham Avinu. V'adzivik hagan levna yachidai. Who can imagine? Who can imagine how many prayers and tears and bowings to Hashem that Avraham did to make so that his son should be able to find the proper wife? You know, with everything going for Avraham, the greatness that he had, that everybody recognized, you know, he had everything going for him, and at the same time, there's no question in the world, there's no question how many tears and prayers Abraham did that Yitzchak should be able to find a proper mate. Ki ikra avodas Hashem yisbarach. Because the main thing in serving Hashem, or a main foundation for serving Hashem, the gam merabah is kol yonei olam hazeh, and not just when it comes to serving Hashem, all matters of life. Bisha toli, depend on having a wife. Okay? Therefore, Abraham clearly davened very, very intensely with great feeling and great supplication to Hashem that Yitzchak should have get the proper wife. The achakein kasher hiskimu kvar kulam liten Rivka leYitzchak libnais bais beYisrael, and after they finally agreed to let Rivka go to build the Jewish people, boi kulam eleven of the imai. Oh, now eleven and his mother, they start up. They start trying to delay things. V'lachen hiktem eliezer likmar hadavar shlo yiparet hazibik anochem v'atayv. Eliezer therefore made sure to get the matter done so that this shidduch should not fall apart. U'lesakel atzah yetzahara, and to overcome the plan of the yetzahara. V'gamar oisei b'tuv v'zrizis b'mukdem hayetzer, and he made sure to do it quickly and as soon as possible. What the Chassam Sefer is saying is that Lavan and Rivka say, let us stay home for a little bit. You know, what are you rushing? You come in, you meet her, the next day you leave. I mean, you know, she's a little girl. Give her a chance to stay home, get used to things. You know, Eliezer realizes, oh no, can't do that. Mm-mm. We're delaying this. We're just letting the Yetzer Hara get in and mess things up. You get there. This has to be done. This is the right thing to do. Do it. Do it now. Don't procrastinate. Don't let other things get involved, because the more you wait around before you do the mitzvah, the more chances the Yetzer Hara is going to get involved and it's going to stop it from happening. That is the lesson from Eliezer. The lesson from Eliezer is that he was finally able to get Abraham what Abraham sought for so much, and clearly the Yetzer Hara would try to stop this all, and therefore he acted quickly and definitively, no delaying, let's get the job done, and that's what he says. Don't delay me. There's no waiting around. We're going home. We're going to Abraham. The next day, we're going back. And this is all, my understanding of the Chassam Sefer is, it's a lesson on any time there's a mitzvah. You get the mitzvah, do it as quick as possible. Get it done. Because the more you wait, the more chances are the Yetzer is going to get involved and convince you or create a situation that could disrupt the whole process of doing the mitzvah. Okay. So now, Eliezer is on his way back home. He's going back with Rivka to Yitzchak. And let's take a look now at page 120. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Pasar Lefnais Arev. Yitzchak went out to pray in the field evening time. Vayisaina Vayar, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Bnei Gemalim Ba'im, behold, camels were coming. Vatisa Rivka Saina, Rivka lifted up her eyes. Vateyas Yitzchak, she saw Yitzchak, Vatipa Malagamon, she fell off the camel. Vatemer La'evet, she said to the servant, Miyo Isha Vazah, Hailach Vasadelik Vasenu. Who is this man coming to greet us? Vatemer La'evet, who are they need? The Evet said, this is my master. Vatikacha Tsa'if Vatiskas, she took the veil and she covered herself. Vayisaper Ha'evet Li Yitzchak, and the Evet told Yitzchak, Eiskal Adrima Sharasa, all the things that he had done. Rashi says, at this point, Eliezer told Yitzchak the whole story, all the miracles. Rashi's wording is, Vayisaper Ha'evet, Gilu Lai Nisim Shinasu Lai. Eliezer told Yitzchak the miracles that took place for him. Shekafsa Lai Ha'aretz, Rashi brings down, he had what's called Kfitzas HaDerech. Miraculously, he got there in a much shorter period of time. And now he prayed, and then Rivka came out. He told him the whole story and all the miracles that happened. After that, what does it say? By the Yitzchak Ha'ayala Sarah Imai, Yitzchak brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah. By Yikachas Rivka, he took Rivka. He took off her wife and he loved her. Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. Okay, there's a lot on this pasuk. Now, on the words Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah his mother, so the Unkelus, Targum Unkelus, to the left of the Psukim, we have Targum Unkelus, the Aramaic translation of Unkelus. And if you look at his translation of Pasuk Samach Zayin, this is an Aramaic translation. Va'ala Yitzchak Lamashkana, Yitzchak brought her to the tent. V'chazah, and he saw, v'asakten ovedaha, that her actions were good, k'ivade sarime, like the actions of his mother Sarah, v'nesev yas Rivka, and he took Rivka, v'avas leila intu, and he took her for a while, and she became his wife. So when the pasuk says, Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah, Lukala says, bring her to the tent of Sarah means, that he saw that her actions were as pure and as righteous as his mother Sarah. So the Bris Karav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik pointed out, the pasuk before just said that Eliezer told Yitzchak all the miracles that took place. Right? Now, you'd think that should be enough, shouldn't it? Wouldn't the fact that Eliezer went and all the miracles taking place, wouldn't that be enough of a reason to believe that Rivka is the one? That's not enough. Yitzchak has to bring her to his mother's tent. Yitzchak has to see that she is as righteous as his mother. And then he takes her for a wife. The miracles aren't enough. The miracles were enough for Eliezer to do as much as he could do. But now to really determine, is Rivka worthy? Yitzchak says, I have to see how she acts. And when he saw that her actions were as righteous as his mother Sarah, that's when he knew that she could be his wife.
He brought it to her tent. Was she buried by then?
Excuse me?
Was Sarah already buried?
Oh, sure.
So we say brought it to her tent.
The tent is where she lived. Where, I mean, you know, Avram had his tent and Sarah had her tent. It was, and that tent was still there. So he brought her to that tent. According to the way the Unkelus is saying, you know, we can see maybe how the word tent in this works out. According to the Unkelus, it would sound like he brought her to the tent. Really means that he gave her a place where to be, and that's where he observed that she was, you know, acting like Sarah. Now, there's a famous medrash here, famous medrash about what it means that he brought her by the Yitzchak Ayala Sarah Ima. Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah, his mother. The famous medrash about what this means. But I want to share it with you because the medrash says that what this means is that when Rivka entered Sarah's tent, certain things that were around when Sarah was around came back. Mm-hmm. You've heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
How many things are there?
I don't remember.
Okay. I always thought there were three. The Medrash says like this. Medrash says, "Kol yamim shayis tasara kayemis." As long as Sarah was alive, haya anan kasher apesach ayala. There was a cloud that was above the opening of her tent. The kemit shemeisa pasach ayse anan. When Sarah died, the cloud went away. The kemit shabbat Rivka. Once Rivka came, chazar ayse anan. The cloud came back. Bringing her to the tent of Sarah, his mother, means to say that the special qualities of Sarah's tent that showed her righteousness that were there when she was alive were actually the signs of her greatness that existed in the tent that went away when she died, came back when Rivka came. Another example. Kol yamim shayis tasara kayemis. As long as Sarah was alive, hayudal says psukos loyavacha. The doors were open wide. The Kemish Shemesa Sarah, once Sarah died, Paska is Haravacha. Then that Haravacha, that wideness, went away. That the Kemish Shabbat Rivka, once Rivka came, Chazra is Haravacha. That wideness returned. Now I'm not exactly sure what this means, but what I think it means is that we always talk about Abraham's tent, right? Abraham's tent, four sides, and people came in. Well, we also know there's a Rashi that says that when it came to bringing people to the belief in Hashem, Avraham worked on the men, and Sarah worked on the women. So one could say that Sarah's tent was the same thing as Avraham's. She was doing the hospitality to the women. And when Sarah died, that stopped. When Rivka came, apparently she walked into that tent and she right away got to doing Gachmas Zarchim. I mean, if anybody knows a different explanation, but that's the only way I understand it. So that's the second thing. Koyan Mishaisa Sarah Kayemeth. When Sarah was alive, I said Bracha Mushalakas V'isa, there was a blessing in the dough. The Kevin Shemesa Sarah, when Sarah died, Pascha Isa Bracha, the blessing left. Kevin Shabbat Rivka Chazra, when Rivka came, it came back. A blessing in the dough, a blessing in the bread. It was more nutritious, it was something that you ate a little bit, it filled you up. That's the third thing. Next, Kol Yamei Hashayis Tasara Kayemes, as long as Sarah was alive, Hayah Ner Dolek, Mehele Shabbos, Hayah Ner Shabbos. A candle burnt from Friday night to Friday night. Kevei Shemei Sepasek Haysa Haner. And when she died, the candle went out. Kevei Shabbat Rivka Chazar. When Rivka came, the candle came back. Then, the last part is, the Kevin Sherel Isa, she Isa Kamaisa Elon. See, the first examples are examples that were signs, qualities that existed when his mother was around. The last thing is when he saw her do things like his mother. Kaisa Chalasa Batahara, the Kaisa Sasa Batahara. That means that when she came to making the bread, she always made sure that the bread should be made Batahara, in purity. In spiritual purity, ritual purity, which means there's no obligation, right, to eat regular food in a state of tahara, in a state of purity. But we find in the Gemara that great people used to be very careful of that to make sure that even though there's no prohibition to eat your food that became tamei, it had to be tar, it had to be pure. That's where people that were more meticulous, more observant did. And this is what she saw she was doing. Just like Sarah always prepared the bread, the food, in purity, she did the same thing. These were the things that Yitzchak saw in Rivka. He saw that Rivka was just like his mother, and all the qualities, and all the greatness, and all the signs, and therefore, he took her for a wife. Looking back at this pasuk again, okay? The pasuk says, let's look at it, because it's important for this next thought. It's important to see the pasuk inside. Pasuk Samach Zayin, Vayaviyah Yitzchak, and Yitzchak brought her, Ha'oyal Asari Imai, to the tent of Sarah his mother, Vayikachas Rivka, he took Rivka, Vatila Leisha, she was a wife for him, Vayaveh, and she loved him, and he loved her. Okay, so, when the pasuk says, Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah his mother, who's that going on? Who did he bring to the tent?
Rivka,
right? The only thing is, why does it have to say then, Vayikach es Rivka, and he took Rivka, and she became his wife? If we're talking about Rivka, you don't have to say he took Rivka. It should say, and Yitzchak brought her to the tent, and she became a wife to him. Why does it have to say, and he took Rivka? That's who we're talking about. Why is it necessary to say that? So therefore, again, the Haggadah of Parashat Satara brings the commentary of the Maisa Hashem. It's a very fascinating interpretation. There's a Medrash that says, and actually, does Rashi bring it down here? Hold on a second. Yes. Rashi on Pasuk Samach Beis brings down the Medrash how Yitzchak went to bring Hagar back to Abraham. Right? In last week's Parashat, Abraham sends out Hagar. At this point, actually, before Yitzchak himself gets married, he goes back to bring Hagar to Abraham. That Hagar should be married to Abraham again.
After Sarah dies.
That Hagar, this is what's happening now. At the same time where Eliezer is bringing a wife for Rivka, Yitzchak is bringing a wife for Abraham. And the commentary of Maisa Hashem says the pasuk means like this. Okay, the Eved tells Yitzchak the whole story. The other Yitzchak Kala Sari Imai is alluding not to Rivka, it's alluding to Hagar. Again, it's a remez.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
This part of the pasuk, and Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sari, his mother, who's the her? It's Hagar. He brought Hagar to his mother's tent because if she's getting married to Abraham, so she's going to go into Sari's tent.
But why did he pick Hagar?
Because they were married before. Vayikach es Rivka, and then he took Rivka as a wife. So, according to the Maase Hashem, the pasuk is alluding to this medrash where Yitzchak went to get Hagar back. He went to get Hagar. He brought Hagar back to Abraham. That's what it means. And he brought her to Sarah's tent, and then he took Rivka for a wife. Meaning Yitzchak, before he was going to marry, he wanted to make sure that his father should have a wife also. So you have Rivka displaying her kindness and becoming the wife of Yitzchak, and at the same time, so the marriage starts with Rivka's kindness, and the Maase Hashem tells us it also happens with Yitzchak. It also happens from Yitzchak's part that in the process of his marriage, Yitzchak does a kindness with his father before he marries Rivka.
Even though Sarah and Hagar.
That was because of Yishmael. Yishmael's out of the picture now. And therefore, Hagar could come back. I saw recently a very interesting, trying to remember where it was exactly, about, you know, Hagar was a special person. She saw angels. She had angels talking to her twice. Right? So she's a special person. Okay? Maybe she didn't do good with Yishmael, whatever it is. But at this point already, for her to come back to Abraham, at this stage of the game, she can come back.
She was Sarah's daughter?
Yes, according to some Midrashim, yes. Okay.
He brought her into Sarah's tent.
Right.
He just went through a whole bunch of things that happened because Rivka went to Sarah's tent, and now you're going back changing the story.
No. It's not concurring with the Medrash. I would also say that what the Ma'aseh Hashem is doing, he's saying the Pasuk is alluding to it. Because there's no mention of Hagar. You can't
right.
say the Pasuk. So it's a remez. It's an illusion. It's an illusion.
Okay.
The fact that at this point of time, Yitzchak is taking care of his father, is doing a chesed with his father before he gets married. Okay. Now, on these last couple of words, where it says he took Rivka, and she was a wife to him, and he loved her. Okay? So, it's very interesting. Vatibar le'isha, and she was a wife to him, and he loved her. It sounds like they got married, and then he loved her. Okay? So Rav Hirsch writes like this. Again, a principle which, thank God, has not disappeared from the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka. The more she became his wife, the more he loved her. Love comes with marriage. Like this marriage of the first Jewish son, most Jewish marriages are contracted, not by passion, but by reason and judgments. Parents, relations, and friends consider which young people are really suited to each other, bring them together, and then love grows more and more the more they get to know each other. But most non-Jewish marriages are made by what they call love. And one has only to glance at the novels, to begin life, to notice what a gulf there usually yawns between the love before marriage and after how rapid and insipid everything then seems, how different from all the glamour one had imagined. Such love is blind, every step into the future brings disappointment. But of the Jewish marriage, it says, he took Rivka, she was a wife, and he loved her. There the wedding is not the culmination, but the seed, the root of love. Basically, the point is that a marriage is meant to start, and it's meant to build. It's not meant to be at a high, and then go down, down, and down. As he says, the novels depict, and as how, I think, modern day entertainment also is very big on bringing that out. At least when I was a kid watching TV, that was constant. That was a constant refrain. Okay, you know that? It was a constant refrain. All right. I said it in public. All right. I said I'm on the tape. You can blackmail me. There's definitely this idea that you see, you know, that, you know, after, you know, it starts on a big high, and then as time goes on, it is, you know,
right.
Nothing left, or gets weaker, and then all the stories, you know, like, you know, you got to get it back, and this and that. And the truth is, you know, marriage definitely needs, always, you know, the idea of refreshing a marriage is a very important thing. But in essence, it doesn't, it's, you don't have to be in love to get married. You get married because you realize it's the right one. And then it builds, and the love builds, and it gets stronger and stronger. Now, what?
They're all different roots.
No, they're all different roots. I'm not saying that nowadays we have to do what he does, you know, contracted.
Yeah.
But it also means, but the main point is, right, is that it starts and it builds. And you're not at the high, and you don't have to be at the highest to get married. Married is not the point of the highest. Married is the point of the most exciting. It's fresh. It's new. It's not the highest, and it's not the highest. It's the beginning, and it grows into something much more real, much more real. Then another thought from the first, and this is on the last words where it says, "Vayinachem Yitzchak achrei imay." Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. So the pasuk says he took Rivka, she became his wife. He loved her, and he was comforted after his mother. What's the pasuk telling us when it says he was comforted after his mother? What's it trying to tell us here? Says the Rav Hirsch. And then four more words, which since God led Eve to Adam until the end of time, nothing more glorious has been said. Vayinachem Yitzchak achrei imay. Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. This is the most glorious thing that can be said. A man 40 years old who is inconsolable for the death of his old mother does find himself consoled again by his wife. And to what wretched drivel does all the talk about Oriental sensuality and harem life, which people like to impose on Jewish married life, too shrink? With Sarah's death, the whole spirit of a home, the whole feminine sweetness and feelings disappeared from the home. Isaac found his mother again in his wife. This is the highest tribute that has ever been paid to the nobility, to the worth of women. It is on a page of the most ancient Jewish history that it is written. The biggest compliment that could be said about Rivka was that Yitzchak was consoled after his mother. That now his mother was back again in his wife. That doesn't mean, right, that you go to your wife and you say, you're just like my mother. You know? That's the biggest praise you can give her. You're just like my mother.
Yeah.
The point is that the greatest praise for a wife is for a person to be able to say, the touch of a mother in a home that I had in my home for my mother, that same touch is now in my own home. That's the greatest praise. It's not the greatest praise, not about beauty, and it's not about all these other kinds of things. The greatest praise is that what a person can feel, the special touch of a mother in a home, the special touch of femininity in a home that comes from a mother, that a man can say in his own home, now I have it with my wife. That is the greatest praise to a wife. And that's what the Pasuk is saying here. The Pasuk is saying here, Vayinachem Yitzchak acharei imay, there is no greater praise. The nobility of the Jewish woman is the fact that she can make the home be that special home that every person starts with their mother, and then continues in his own home with his wife. That's the concluding comment of Rav Hirsch on this part of the parasha.
Do we know much about the children born apart from Abraham?